shoes on the train, they left the crew. Backpacks, homework, where's that other shoe? Kids are flipping out, the house is a wreck. We're just trying to make it without losing our minds. School pickups to late night drinks. We're laughing, crying at what life brings. Elementary school drama, snacks on repeat. Parents in chaos, cocktails as a treat. So tune in, relax, laugh if you can.
Welcome back to another episode of Put Your Effing Shoes On, the Perfectly Imperfect Parenting Podcast. Here's Jen.
Hi, I'm Jen, joined by my co-host Mike. And I know you're all at the edge of your seat with what costume my son ended up wearing for Halloween and how Mike's trick-or-treat booze wagon went. So wait no longer. We are here. Fill us in. How'd it go?
Big hit. I put headlights on the booze wagon so I could see at night because, safety first. And then I handed out alcohol to all the responsible parents in my neighborhood. What I wasn't counting on was, and I planned on having a few drinks, but I didn't plan on every other person I handed a little bottle of booze to want to drink one with me. So, I was feeling a little rough the day after Halloween. But, all in all, it was a pretty good holiday. We weren't out for too long. And my kids have completely forgotten about the candy bags. It was really just about running around the neighborhood with their buddies. So, I did have some trick-or-treater stuff. Normally this neighborhood is a really safe neighborhood. And to that point, early in the day, I had some kids come to the back door of my house, just cause I was in the backyard for whatever reason. And they can see it from the street. And, they ran up and they got some candy and whatnot. And then one kid, as he was leaving, just goes, "Nice lawn, mister." And I wanted to call him back and like, give him more candy. I was so excited. I was like, who, somebody taught this kid, right? But then as the night went on, I had some, little turds show up and, they took all the candy, flipped over the box, so that was fun. But it was the end of the night. It was like the last two groups, so I don't really care.
Yeah, but they don't know that and they should have known better. My kid's candy, my son's candy gut is just gone. It's missing. He came back with his whole loot bag. And between the front steps of our house and the entrance, I don't know where he put it down or what happened. And it's gone.
Oh, Jen, I've known you for a long, long time, so I know exactly where that candy bag went.
Really don't know where it is, but my daughter was very kind. I was so torn between, do I pretend I found the bag because I had another one just like it, fill it with some candy, or does he have to learn a lesson? But it wasn't really his fault. So then what kind of came naturally was my daughter so kindly gave a lot of her candy to him in a separate bucket. So I felt like that was a positive way of sharing the wealth. And then one of the pieces of candy she had told him gave him superpowers. So when he went to school, he was talking about how he had superpower candy. And then he was very disappointed because his friends didn't believe him that he was telling something that wasn't true. And he was very adamant that it was true because his sister told him. And this is another one of those parenting debacles of I felt bad for him. She wasn't trying to do anything wrong. It was he still believes. And I said, if you
believe, kind of candy gives him superpowers?
Some kind of clear wrapper, like an unnamed gumball-esque, so it was very
all those
generic.
Questionable candies that you get from the neighbors.
My daughter knew where to go to get all the full size candy. Uh-huh. So she was killing it. She was definitely on it. But I was thinking about your wagon. I like that you taught your kids about sharing with all the adults, which is great. And I was also thinking of the term on the wagon, which actually means not having alcohol, right? But how kind of,
I don't know. I know there's a wagon and booze involved somewhere. I don't know. Probably dates back to the Oregon Trail.
I'm just thinking of marketing for next year.
I'm not a historian. I don't know.
I'm glad it all went well. I know. First of all, I was listening back to last week's episode, and I really thought that when I was referring to my daughter's costume, it sounded like I was saying whore when I was saying she was going to be something of whore costume. And I just wanted to clarify, I was saying horror in my thick New Jersey accent. So just really felt important to circle back to that.
Now you've got another couple of years before you have to worry about the other kind of costume.
I hope so. I really hope so. I mean, she could be a slutty murderer. The options are endless.
I mean, if true crime docudramas are anything to, look at, there's a lot of slutty murderers out there.
There really are. So we will stay tuned for that. My son, originally I said, had wanted to be the mask from Deadpool, the shirt from Han Solo, and the pants, I now realize, was Star-Lord. That was the name I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
And he was, drum roll please, see, none of the above. Okay. He was a skeleton.
Oh. So,
typical parenting situation. He did wear Hans for the class party and the parade and completely pivoted to a regular skeleton outfit that I had ordered off Amazon that wasn't even costume related. It was just a sweatsuit. And he was quite happy. So I guess that's how it goes.
Yeah, all of my kids woke up the morning of Halloween wanting to be something else than what had been purchased. So, yeah.
Right. It's like their prerogative, I feel. Also, was it like 900 degrees during the parade?
Yeah, it was great.
Oh my gosh. It was such a beautiful day. So nice for them to be out, minus all the trick-or-treat thieves. So all went well. Huge success. Our gathering went quite well. Sorry we didn't get to see you there.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a huge hit. We had lots of fun crafts for the kids, and I had cocktails for the adults, of course. Mm-hmm. Did my candy charcuterie. Caramel Apple Station, all good stuff. So all went very well.
Nice. And now we enter the just the running downhill till New Year's Eve.
Unbelievable. I can't even believe it. We're like not, first of all, the stores were playing Christmas music before we even went trick-or-treating.
Oh, yeah.
So everyone's, you know, the turnover, it's like now there's a Halloween end cap, similar to the Hanukkah end cap that we get, and it's just completely pivoted to Christmas Village everywhere you go, and everyone's in the spirit.
Well,
so.
I'm surprised you guys even get an end cap. I thought they just put some, like, you know, dreidels in a basket up front and just kind of, you know, they put them next to, like, this, yeah. Well, I mean, Hobby Lobby's not giving you an end cap, that's for sure.
Certainly not. Certainly not. Anyway, so do you go, you travel for Thanksgiving?
You know, we did. For a long time, I was like a kind of a slave to like making everybody happy. And it seems like the more kids you have, the less pressure people put on you to do anything. And you can kind of opt out a lot of things. Yeah. So yeah, yeah. If you feel like you're pressured around the holidays, have a couple more kids and just really lightens the load. Nah. So I know, like, you know, I'm a product of divorce. So when I was, you know, I would always bounce around between my mom's house, my dad's house for the holidays. And it always felt like you had to make time for both. And by doing that, you really didn't give either side time because you were just in a rush. And my mom always had a habit of like making things run late so that I didn't get out of there on time and yada, yada, yada. So then getting married and having my wife's parents to go, you know, back and forth to, and especially people not living in the same area, there was just a lot of travel. And, you know, with the first kid, you kind of still feel obligated because they all want to see the baby. But now it's just too much. Luckily, everybody's a little bit closer together and we pick one thing and we just run with it. So I'd say saying no is a fun little thing to do around the holidays. It makes my life a lot easier.
It is, but it's challenging to do that. These boundaries are important and we teach the kids about it. And I also find it really challenging, like the people pleaser in me with a big heart who just wants to celebrate with everyone and give to everyone. It's tricky. That's why I think hosting, as difficult as it is on a different end, actually can bring everyone together on your terms, on your time. That's
you guys are much better hosts than we are.
Thanksgiving, I will tell you. We do travel for Thanksgiving. That is one holiday that I don't think I'll pick up. But yes, most other things we do like to when we can.
Now, I mean, for Thanksgiving, your in-laws and your parents are probably, what, 2 hours plus apart? So
they are both my parents every year, but my in-laws actually have been traveling. They've been going to California to see other relatives, so it's usually one-stop shop, and we just go to Jersey and do our thing and spend with my family, and it makes it easier. And then my in-laws are always invited and included, so in the years that they're able to come, then we are together there. So I know we got lucky with that one.
Nice. So, I mean, my mom was never very pliable around the holidays. Like, she had a very she was kind of just steeped in tradition. She liked having things her way because that's kind of the way they always were. And then all of a sudden, like, things shifted. You know, she's got a new life partner and he's divorced and he has kids. So what she started doing was fake holidays. So she does fake Thanksgiving the Sunday before real Thanksgiving, where she does a full Thanksgiving spread, but it's all of the, what do you want to call them, like lost soldiers or whatever. So, yeah, it's everybody that's got to go to, like, other sides of the family for the actual holiday. And it actually works out great because it's all the people that you probably wouldn't get on the actual holiday because they've got to all go and appease everybody. And every year now she has fake Thanksgiving and everybody comes because nobody's doing anything that Sunday before Thanksgiving. What? So it turned into a nice little tradition.
That is really great. And then at least you have something else to look forward to. And then you're not being so torn, which is really nice. My in-laws do fake Easter for us, which I really appreciate it. Feaster, we call it.
Okay.
And because oftentimes it often corresponds with Passover, other things that we aren't able to partake in some of the fun candy treats. So they're definitely super flexible with giving us a bonus day, an extra day, because it doesn't really matter what the actual day on the calendar is, as long as you're getting into the spirit. So mm-hmm. That works out really well.
So I assume that you're probably better at this than I am, but lately I just, out of necessity, I like to streamline my life so that I'm not having to do everything all at once at the last minute. So, I mean, what are some things that you do to make the holidays just easier on yourself? Because I have a little list of stuff that I do that I just didn't realize I was doing, but it does seem to help.
It does add up. I always plan ahead, and that is just the way my mind works. And it's funny, I was just reaching out to friends about something for months down the line, and I was like, I know this is far out, but this is the way my mind works. And if you can tell me if you're available on such and such a date, then I can actually relax for the next 2 months and plan accordingly and have a good time picking stuff out because I won't have to worry whether or not the date is available. So I think in general, I mean, I was literally looking up holiday pajamas this morning and those kinds of things, recipes, and we're hosting for Hanukkah here, even though we're not even in Thanksgiving yet, figuring out what we might bring for a side dish when we do go to Thanksgiving. I just like to think ahead. For me, that's how I work properly. So if I have to order something, I just make all my lists ahead of time and it just helps me stay as, I guess, lined up as I possibly can. But what are some of your tidbits?
So saying no is a big one. This way I don't put too much on my calendar for like the next 2 months. But also I started shopping for Christmas like a month ago. So just for the kids so that we're not just Amazoning everything at the last minute. You know, if I go, like I have my youngest one is home during the day and I'm generally home during the day, right? So I'm looking for things to do with her. So if I have to go to Target for something, I'll run through the toy aisle and get stuff that I think the boys will like.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've got like a closet that's got all the hidden stuff and it's just slowly been building up so that when Christmas comes, you know, my wife will be like, oh, we have to get stuff for the boys. I'm like, I already got it covered. Don't worry about it. So I've been doing that. I start making a list of everybody that I have to buy for like basically a month ago also. This way, as I see stuff or as stuff that I think they'll like comes on sale, I'm not like paying regular retail for it right before the holiday. That's kind of it. As far as making stuff to go to, you know, parties and whatnot, I'm going to a good bakery. I'm buying something and I'm calling it a day. I don't have the time to bake and I've got a bunch of really good bakeries that are right here. So I don't second guess it. They're going to make it a lot better than I'm ever going to.
Yeah, they figured it out for you already. No need to reinvent the wheel. I have a gift closet. It's in my lunch room. I have a shelf. I have multiple bins. And it's funny because when you said it, I was like, oh, I've been doing that forever too. And not even something that I thought about. But it is a helpful tip. Whenever I see something, I mean, I have a birthday gift set aside for my brother whose birthday is in August, but I happened to see it a couple of months ago at the store. And I was like, well, let me just get this and put this away as something. So I do the same. If I'm shopping or even just scrolling online, I'll put things away for family members because it's, and definitely the kids, because it does make it a lot easier and takes the guesswork out. Thanks to my daughter and son who know how to access Amazon, thankfully don't have cart access. So they have on their iPad, they have the ability to add to cart and ability to send us a link, but not to purchase. So we do have like a little bit of a blocker there. I don't have to guess anymore what they might like because we are getting ding, 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 ding daily updates as to what they're both requesting. But that makes it fun too. So that helps a little bit.
Well, that's got to be like a laundry list a mile long because with my kids, they get the, you know, the book that Amazon mails out.
Yes, and brilliant market.
Yeah, so they just circle everything they want. But if the book stays out for a day or two, everything in the book is circled. So they're going to get none of it.
Right. Well, I always loved that as an activity. Because it's a quiet time activity where you sit with your marker and you just dream a little bit. And it's a very big, thick book, as you mentioned. And I just felt like it was a good time occupier just for a little while. So you could just print out a bunch of get catalogs from everywhere, have your kids circle sticker, just give them some busy work. And they don't know that they're not receiving any, or maybe some of them. So that's definitely a good hot take.
By the time the holiday comes, they've forgotten everything that they circled in that book anyway. So it doesn't really matter. Amazon does a really nice job of not having prices on anything in their book. So that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I grab like random stuff. Like if I see like a Yeti coffee mug or something that's on sale, a lot of times this time of year, they go on sale. It's like some wacky color that they couldn't get rid of. So you might see it for like $13. And if you've got like a weird, like an office grab bag, or you play Dirty Santa or whatever, it's nice to have stuff like that around. And if you have a bunch of extra junk, throw it in somebody else's, you know, gift. You know, maybe my brother-in-law gets an extra coffee mug or whatever.
Right.
But it's nice having some of those little tchotchke things around. And a lot of times what I'll do is, because I'm buying a lot of times for somebody that's very similar to myself, whether it be like my brother or my brothers-in-laws or you know, dads, uncles, whoever. I'll just buy stuff that I know that I would like. And if I find something that I think they would like better, I'll just keep the thing that I bought for myself or bought for them.
I do that with my mom because we have similar taste. And she's also will tell me, we are good in our family about saying whether or not it's something that we want to keep, because we're always big on, you know, it's returnable and no obligation. And when I do buy for her, I often buy with, we have similar tastes, so myself and mine, because in case I can't return it, I'm really not a good returner. I might even save the receipt and just never get there to do it. So I always buy something that as a backup, I also like, in case she chooses not to. My brother started with his birthday many, many years ago. He would make a keep or crap pile, which was quite endearing.
I'm sure that made a lot of people feel special.
Really special. And it's been part of our family now for years. One time I showed up for his birthday with bins that I labeled for him as mm-hmm. part of the gift so that he could just pop the stuff in. But this has just been an ongoing thing in our family for years. So we not only are honest, but brutally so. And I think it's a good thing because also that's really tricky. What do you do when you get a gift you don't like? And what if it's from family and do you have to pretend and smile? Or do you say no thank you?
I mean, I've worn a lot of ugly shirts to family dinners just because I wanted to be polite.
Okay. All right. So that's a good tip. Or you can re-gift. You know, sometimes that's an option.
Yeah. The problem is by the time the re-gifting, you know, it comes time to re-gift that gift, I've forgotten mm-hmm. who gave it to me.
Right. Oh, yes.
Yeah, you don't want to give it back.
Friends of ours years ago did a re-gifting grab bag. So it was an adults-only party, and you would just bring, I mean, it could be really wild things that you got. I mean, it could be like a piece of mail. It could literally be anything. But it was mostly the point of it was mm-hmm. something that you were not particularly interested in that you could give back to someone else. And we did have a fun time getting rid of those things. So it does help a lot.
Yeah, I think when I buy something for somebody, I remember that I bought it for them, but it's just hard for me to remember who gave me, you know, if it's like a flannel. So a few weeks ago, we were at a wedding, and the night before we were at dinner, or maybe the day after, whatever, and I was wearing a flannel that my sister-in-law had given me, and she was like, oh, it's a nice shirt. And I was like, oh, shit, she definitely bought this for me. Oh, yeah, yeah, somebody that I know with really great taste got it for me.
It's, when in doubt, just compliment.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, the reason I like to do all this stuff is in the summer, they call the time from Memorial Day to Labor Day, it's like the 100 deadliest days on the road. It's when there's the most car accidents. But I've always found that from Thanksgiving to New Year's is when there's maybe not the most deadly accidents, but definitely the most like fender benders and accidents that didn't need to happen. Right. A lot of people are rushing around. It gets dark early. You got end of the year obligations. You got school obligations. People are working. And then on top of that, they're running around doing all the holiday stuff. People are kind of out of like their general routine. Cause I mean, maybe you shop all year, but most people aren't running like back and forth to a shopping mall, to a strip mall, you know, home, picking up, like they're just doing a lot of things that they don't normally do. And then on top of that, they've kind of got their heads up their butts anyway. Right. So between like parking lots and just like little, you know, fender benders on the road, I try and spend as little time driving as possible this time of year or after Thanksgiving. I mean, I really don't even like leaving my town. I'll go to the grocery store and that's about it. So I try and limit that. And I would urge everybody else to kind of do the same.
I think that is a good hot tip for us.
Yeah.
I do a lot of online shopping year round. I'm really always here to help the economy. So I stick to that most of the time. And it does just like my children are always adding to cart, I'm doing the same. One big part of a lot of the holidays, obviously, that people love is food. But in some fun food news, I saw a goldfish, very shortly lived. They temporarily changed their famous snack cracker from Goldfish brand to Chilean sea bass brand.
What was their thought really, behind that?
To get the adults into the snack mix, mm-hmm. I suppose. I mean, I eat them anyway because I think they're delicious. I know they have spicy dill pickle and Old Bay seasoning and Frank's hot sauce. So I know there's lots of flavors they already have. I mean, it was such a limited edition. I know it already ended in October. And when I looked on the website, it said sold out forever. So it appears that they don't have the intention of bringing it back anytime soon, or literally ever.
Was it supposed to be like a Halloween thing? Was it like Chilean sea bass, like a Halloween costume?
Possibly. There wasn't much explanation, but that makes sense because it did wrap in October. And I really think it was only through October. Like I said, I eat my kids' snacks regardless. Mm-hmm. I love a good gummy candy. I didn't need to be marketed to, but I did get a kick out of it. I was just thought it was an interesting take from Pepperidge Farm.
Well, you know that Chilean sea bass is in itself marketing, that there is no fish called a Chilean sea bass.
Interesting.
Do you know what it's actually called?
No, but I've always ordered it as Chilean sea
bass. Yes, the much less appetizing Patagonian toothfish.
Ah, next time I'm craving a Patagonian toothfish, I will definitely think of you.
Yeah.
And prefer a cheddar version, to be honest with you, with that name. But
do you guys have any like traditions that have just followed you from childhood into adulthood? Whether it be for Hanukkah, Christmas, Feaster, New Year's Eve?
Such a good thought. I have some for my children that I'll start with. They're just very fortunate that they get to go to the Thanksgiving parade. Mm-hmm. My sister-in-law has a really cool job, and she's been able to get us seats to this viewing party indoors every year. So we've gone to like the NBC Universal one, and we've gone to the Nickelodeon one, different ones. And so all four cousins together, my two kids and her two kids, get to go, and we take them, just us girls. So that's been really fun. My brother and sister-in-law host the night before, like a Thanksgiving Eve with some friends, and we get to be part of that and then sleep over. And then my sister-in-law and I take the kids into the city the next day and have this early morning. We do the viewing. There's food. They literally give us basically breakfast, lunch, dessert. We have a full meal before then going to have the full feast at my family's house at 2 p.m. and eating for the remainder of the day. When I was a kid, we had my brother and I were growing up, we always went to my grandparents' house, who are not with us anymore. And eventually they had sold their house and done the Florida thing and downsized. And so when they stopped doing that, my family took over. My favorite Thanksgiving memory, if you ask any of us, we'll tell you, was the one year we had no plans. So we had always grown up going, the big extended family coming in from all out of state. And it was just the four of us. We ended up going to the movies. For Thanksgiving, we saw Adam Sandler's Waterboy and had curly fries for dinner for our Thanksgiving meal. And it was, to this day, the most epic and memorable of traditions that did not carry on any other time. But my children were actually watching Waterboy last night, and it sparked this memory for me as well. So other than that, I would say sweet potatoes and marshmallows, if you're looking for a very cut and dry answer, which used to be a casserole and is now down to the little boat.
What is that?
Individual sweet potato boats. Like, it's not we call it a boat. It's a sweet potato.
Okay.
It's a diagonal half sweet potato with either marshmallows, pineapple for an individual serving.
It's
the tradition that used to be the big casserole is now an individual.
I gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? So I kind of wish the movies and curly fries tradition carried on. That would have been really cool. Mm-hmm. And other than that, it's, I guess that's all I can really think of for now. What about you?
Well, for Thanksgiving, I don't know, we were probably about 10, and my mother had us make pilgrim costumes. And those keep coming about. Like every couple of years, she'll dig them out for Thanksgiving, and somebody ends up wearing it. So those show up once in a while. And then I think that same year, I don't know if this is a thing from like the 70s that she got stuck on and just decided to make it one year, but it was like a Jell-O mold, that had like, I don't know, celery. It was like, I remember it like very vividly. You called it the Patty, What Were You Thinking Jell-O? And it was like a Jell-O mold like you'd see in like cartoons, like that very bowl shaped kind of Jell-O mold.
Right.
But it had like celery cut up in it and like some other, maybe some like scallion or something. I don't know what the heck this was. Mm. Safe to say that not a lot of people had it that year. But that's another thing that every Thanksgiving we ask, hey, Patty, are you making the patty? What were you thinking, Jell-O? That's pretty much it for Thanksgiving. That's, you know, Thanksgiving for us is we're just eating the whole day. For Christmas, my mother-in-law gets everybody pajamas. And I always thought that was fun. So for the last, I don't know, 10 years, she gets everybody pajamas on Christmas Eve. So everybody wakes up Christmas Day in their Christmas PJs.
I loved that. I was talking to my mother-in-law about doing that because we go there for Christmas. One year we did do it. And this year we're having a lot of extended family because usually it's just our four. So my husband and my two kids. And then my mother-in-law's sister for mm-hmm. actual Christmas and our two very, very close friends who are like family and their son, they come on actual Christmas Day. So they're not there for the evening when we would all be wearing the pajamas. So I did actually this morning send a link of suggested pajamas because we have my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, my husband's brother and his wife, and some cousins and extended family this year. So I like the pajama thing. I think it's really cute. I think that makes it super fun.
Yeah, it's something that everybody looks forward to. The one problem is that after like 10 years of doing it, how many more pajamas can I have? I have to start throwing out perfectly good pajamas. They don't wear out as fast as you'd like them to. So I've got a lot of pajamas stacked up, like more pajamas than any man should.
That makes me think of the Bert Kreischer pajamas. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
It's like, come on, pajamas.
Yeah.
Like you get another pair and another pair. Every time I get pajamas, that's what I think of.
Yeah, if you get a chance, yeah, you should definitely go on YouTube and put in Bert Kreischer pajamas. And that's a very, very good bit. Yeah. I mean, as far as holiday tradition, though, that's pretty much it for us over here. Playing it fast and loose this year. We still don't know what we're doing for Thanksgiving. Still don't know what we're doing for Christmas. But we do know that we'll be going to fake Thanksgiving the Sunday before. So the tradition that sticks.
I like leftovers, Thanksgiving leftover party. I've done on occasion just... Mm-hmm. Some, you know, local friends in the area, if you have leftovers that you've gone home with or you have hosted and you have and kind of share the wealth so you're not eating the same things over and over again. I think that's kind of fun. Sometimes in your pajamas because just to be comfy.
Sure, absolutely.
Then you're sharing the traditions. For Hanukkah, I mean, latkes is the traditional food. So my great grandma used to make them. And I remember that so vividly. We called her Nanny. And we would always say, Nanny, sit, Nanny, sit. Because she was standing forever serving everyone. Mm-hmm. We wanted her to sit and join us. And now I am the new Nanny. So I stand and smell like a giant fried potato and onion for mm-hmm. 8 days straight. And I've created my new tradition with that. Kids do love it.
Do you fry those in your kitchen?
I fry them in my kitchen.
Does it stink up the whole house?
For sure. We have to have the windows up and the fan thing on. Mm-hmm. Use the food processor and just everything's from scratch. So shred the potatoes and the onions, put the seasoning in, and fry them by hand. Lots and lots and lots of latkes. I make homemade applesauce and all the accoutrements. And then I try to do sometimes a toppings bar. Mm-hmm. So you could have even different, almost ethnic style latkes. You could do like a Mexican style with shredded cheese and guac and salsa if you wanted. You know, the applesauce is a fave. We do like creme fraiche and caviar and fresh lox and everything. Bagel seasoning, the whole nine.
Nice. The reason I ask is my grandmother had, my grandfather cooked a lot, but he would stink up the house. So eventually he had to build an outdoor kitchen. And I just, my whole childhood, he was just out there in like a big flannel and just cooking for hours. And recently my grandmother passed and I found a bunch of pictures of my grandfather and it's him. I didn't realize. I mean, now I get it now because I do most of the cooking in my house, but he was out there cooking for hours and hours and hours. But every picture there's like another beer here, there's a beer there. And like, he was just out there having a party with himself, listening to music.
He was living his best life.
Yeah. And, but, you know, in my house, because I do most of the cooking, and I'm making something for me, something for my wife, because, you know, she has celiac. So a lot of times I don't want to eat what she's eating. So, mm-hmm. or I have to make two versions of something, you know, one that's gluten-free or one that doesn't have meat in it or whatever. So a lot of times I'm making like three different dinners. Or I'm making lunch for the kids, or all the kids want different breakfasts. So I basically live in the kitchen and just like have music on, or like I'm watching movies on my phone. So I get it. I feel your pain. I do. And I'm on my feet basically the entire day in the kitchen.
Yeah, you're taking on the family tradition.
Yeah.
To be doing the same. Maybe we need to get you one of those with all the flannels that you have been gifted over mm-hmm. the years. We just need to pile them on to keep you extra warm.
And just need an outdoor kitchen. And a lot of beer.
I would really love an outdoor kitchen. I mean, I feel like during COVID, we did literally everything outdoors. And one New Year's, we hosted. We had one other couple over. And we were just bundled. And we were out there 2 in the morning around a fire pit. I mean, we drank at least a bottle of champagne. So, you know, that helps keep you toasty from the inside out. It's just science. Sure. We got used to being outside a lot. So sometimes the cooking outdoors, it's been a mild season so far. Maybe it'll be fine. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I'll grill all year, so it doesn't make a difference to me.
And the kitchen is so sweltering when you're frying up food. The whole tradition of Hanukkah is the oil had lasted for 8 days, and now we all have high cholesterol. So to continue,
I mean, listen, I like to consider myself Jewish by association, and well, I'm pretty sure that they were not talking about fry oil in that story.
It's not, you're right. It was for candles. It's a little semantics. It's all semantics. Now it's just a matter of anything we possibly can fry. So we make souvganiyot as the big tradition, which is in layman's terms, fried dough, which every culture has, right? There's like mm-hmm. churros, there's zeppelis. I feel like everyone has their version of fried dough. So
for the Midwest, funnel cake.
And I do love a good funnel cake. Mm-hmm. So this is a jelly donut. For all intents and purposes, my husband is always in charge of this part. We have the deep fryer. He pops them in, and then I take a medicine dropper, mm-hmm. like you know, like you would give for the kids for Tylenol, a clean one, and kind of just syringe it in there with jelly or Nutella or like cookie butter. Just it's the possibilities are endless. And then you have to make it snow real hard with the powdered sugar and nice. Just really toss them out in there. And they're hot and delicious. I mean, after 8 days of that, you're hoping somebody's gifted you a treadmill or a set of weights for sure. all of those nights of opening gifts, because you are absolutely disgusting at the end of all of it. It's worth it. It's delicious.
You know, I've been throwing out all those friggin' syringes because I feel like I just had like 20 of them sitting in a drawer somewhere.
Sounds like you're going to have souvganiyot in your house.
I think so. Send my wife the recipe. Let her do it. I gotta find a couple things that she can make.
Yeah, allergy stuff is real though. I mean, we don't have it for allergies, which obviously in your case is much more serious. We do have it for, I'll say, preferences, which is just as serious because I suppose you can't have it anyway. But I grew up kosher, so my dad for sure keeps kosher. My mom is vegan, and I'm pescatarian. And then, you know, kids are kids. Even though my kids are actually really good eaters, they're, you know, you never know. And it's a matter of keeping, as you know, the cross-contamination issue and everything separate. And then when we host, and we do have you guys or other friends who have, we have one who has a nut allergy and one who, if we're doing the gluten thing. And so I'm very conscious of all of those things and the overwashing of the hands and the separate bowls and serving utensils and checking all the ingredients all the time. It does add another layer to hosting. It really does.
It's super annoying. That's what I mean. I don't mind hosting because it's kind of just more of the same. But my wife gets very anxious when we have to host people, especially if it's like a large group, even though right. I'll kind of just take care of it. Just, you know, just do your thing. Just keep the kids over there. You know, my two youngest ones like to use the racetrack from our living room to the kitchen. The hallway as a racetrack.
Of course.
So they just run through the kitchen screaming while I'm trying to cook. Which that's my only pet peeve is just keep everybody out of the kitchen. Just leave, you know, I want to put a baby gate up in the hallway and just say, this is off limits until we're done.
Oh, yeah. I have that inner struggle of let's make it look like no one lives here mm-hmm. when people are arriving. which is very difficult because it's basically Legoland in every room of our house. Yeah. With my son. I mean, he builds beautifully, plays beautifully, and you're always in some kind of a, you know, mind trap. You're going to step on something, so it's hazardous. It's mm-hmm. in the way, and there is some, I don't know what is ingrained in my children that they have trouble keeping the pillows on the couch. I don't know if you're also, I'm guilty of having a million throw pillows. I know it's like, not to stereotype, it's kind of a girl thing. I have a lot of pillows on the couch in both multiple rooms, and they just don't stay on. And I don't know why they're always coming off. So it's just the constant, like putting the blanket back and putting the pillows back, the regular cleanup, never mind the other stuff that, you know, you're like shoving in a closet right before people come. Or I've literally had a full dishwasher, and full sink, and if the dishwasher is running and you have no place for the dishes, I have put the dirty dishes in a laundry basket and just like chucked it outside somewhere, which is always fun discovery. Sometime in the winter, I'm giving away all my secrets, sometime in the winter when the snow melts again, you know, mm-hmm. after it's been like a December of hosting, and I've now discovered there's my extra fork that I was looking for, or a serving spatula. I just really bothers me when people know how human we are how imperfect we live.
I mean, my house is no different, and my kids, for whatever reason, would prefer to play in our living room where adults should be, and not the playroom where they should be. So it's always destroyed. Having been friends with you guys forever and being there the day or two or sometimes 3 days after the party, you know, from probably the day or two before the party as well. So helping you get ready and then seeing the aftermath. A lot of times the morning after reminds me of like if you were ever in a haunted house and they turned the lights on and you got to see kind of how the sausage was made, you'd be like, oh, okay, that's how they did that. Yeah, I see how she did it.
It's the club when the lights go. It's closing time at the club.
There you go, like, yeah.
I didn't want to be seen in this light, and I certainly didn't want to see that person in that light. Yes. Like all the mystery is gone. It's also the hype and the energy to clean up. First of all, for like the first person to arrive, like if you're hosting a party, everything has to be like picture perfect. The counter's clear. This is why I obsessively take videos and pictures to capture everything, mm-hmm. because I take such a long time to not only make everything clean and cleared off, but pretty, and the beautiful displays of the food. And then the first person walks in that spotless living room, puts their big ass coat down and their bag or whatever it is, and all the shoes come off, and it doesn't even matter how organized the area is for people to put their stuff. Mm-hmm. It's it. That's it. And then they come, oh, and I brought this for you. Oh, and where can I put this? And it's an explosion. And then you start cooking. And forget it. I mean, I should do a before and after because I've been really into making the reels on social media or putting together, you know, the quote unquote perfect Instagram worthy displays. But mm-hmm. if you saw the before of course, like yelling at the kids to clean up their mess, and my husband and I figure out, wait, we need to get this, and can you run out and do that? And he's hopping in the shower, and I'm like, but I need you down here. And I've all of the fun components until you open the door with a big smile. Hi, we're so glad you're here. As if nothing has gone on behind the scenes. We're just here over in Pleasantville with our children who are behaving, and they don't play with their toys, and we always have a candle lit and looks lovely. So just don't go on the back porch for my laundry basket full of dirty dishes, and we can keep up with the facade, you know, until the drinks are flowing and the beer cans are everywhere and the mm-hmm. mixers are all over the sticky counter. And just is what it is.
Yeah, you get everything perfect, and then you have to just take a shower because you're drenched in sweat from running around for an entire day.
100%. Yeah, it's really just, and it's like sometimes I'm like, why? Like, for what? Like, who cares about this? It's me that cares about this. Excuse the beep. I forgot to put on Do Not Disturb. It was actually my daughter, and she texted me, I love you, from downstairs.
Aww.
That's sweet.
I've been ignoring my kids.
Followed by a link for what she wants for Hanukkah. Oh, okay. Just got to get that yet. But I know it's coming. I know it's coming.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, although we will eventually get into the never did I ever, but this was just funny. My son got onto my lap and was just hugging me and snuggling me. I love you. You're the best. You're the best. And I was like, oh, thank you, sweetie. And then he goes, you know, I'm just doing this to get out of my homework, right? I'm like, oh. Cool.
That's awesome. Go do your homework.
Exactly. I mean, I'll still take the snuggles, and now it's time to finish this math problem. So. Oh, kids.
They're fun.
Here on Put Your F'n Shoes On, we have a really fun game that we'll play each week, something to look forward to. So rather than Never Have I Ever, which is the typical college drinking game of something you haven't done and you share, and then if you have done it, you take a sip. We're right now playing Coffee If You Want. It's different and into Never Did I Ever, and it relates to something you never thought you would hear your child say, or something you never thought you would say as a parent. So do you want to kick us off, Mike?
Yeah. So I have a problem with my earliest memories are at like 4 years old and after. So I've been playing it fast and loose with my kids, figuring that if they're under four, I can kind of say whatever I want and it's never going to affect them. Well, the other day I'm driving around with my daughter, who's three. The guy in front of me sat at the light for an absorbent amount of time after it had turned green. And I kind of forgot she was in the back. And I said, "Let's go, a-hole." And I heard her little perfect voice from the back seat say, "Let's go." And then she kind of fumbled it, and it sounded like Elsa. And I was like, "Oh, opportunity." I said, "Yeah, let's go, Elsa." And now every time a light turns green, she yells from the back seat, "Let's go, Elsa." So we get a little frozen every time we stop at a red light now.
I like how you let it go.
Oh, look what you did there, Jen.
You really made that rage dissipate by turning it into a positive. What a lesson.
But yeah, now it's been a week and a half of her yelling, "Let's go, Elsa," at every motor she can.
Well, better that.
Yeah,
much better that. So this morning for my never did I ever, my daughter, I'm embarrassed to even say this, she asked, "Is it legal for a husband and wife to see each other naked?" To which I replied, "Yes, it is." I thought it seemed very innocent of a question. I mean, is it legal sounded adorable until she followed it by, maybe I should leave out the second part, until she followed it by, "Do you have to be fully naked to have sex? Or do you just take your pants off?" And I was like, "Thank you for your inquiry. I will get back to you in 5 to 7 business years with the response." Once I spoke with my manager, I was like, "Oh my God, how do you answer that?" I said, "It depends."
I mean, I honestly thought you'd just go, "I don't know, I've kind of done it both ways."
I said, "Maybe your father would like to answer that." To which he replied, "Nope."
No. You don't send little girls to dad for those questions.
Not at all. I was like, "Okay, put your effing shoes on. It's time to go to school. We'll talk about this later."
Yeah, absolutely.
So stay tuned. Oh my God. As they get older too, the questions get even more challenging.
All right. That's it for this week's episode of Put Your Effing Shoes On. You can find the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, follow us on Instagram, and be sure to tune in next week for our holiday gift guide. Now get out there and put your effing shoes on.
Take on the parenting world. Put your effing shoes on. Without losing